We're back on Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WG, and I'm Steve Bertrand. Okay, all the signs are good, right? No more travel restrictions. The full capacity phase five is just a few weeks away, 10 days away, in fact. So is it time for you, or did the pandemic cause you to realign your friendships or maybe your friendscape? On the phone line now is Professor Susan Deggs White. She's a professor of counseling at Northern Illinois University. Professor, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so I've heard of about different scapes around, but I'd not heard of a friendscape. Can you explain that for me?
Oh, absolutely. So when we think about a group of friends, some people use the word web of support, some people use convoy of friends. But when we think about friendships, we have a lot of different types of friends. So the idea of a friendscape takes into account that everyone kind of serves a different purpose or meets different needs or brings beauty and joy to our landscape of life. And so the idea of a friendscape kind of gives us that chance to kind of shape things the way we need them to help us feel the most secure and find the greatest joy in our relationship.
There are three different levels of friendship or people in this friendscape?
Well, one time, you know, when you think about when you look out at a landscape, you know, you first look at your backyard. What do you notice up close first? That's kind of your foreground. And those are the things and the people you see every day. They're the people that really make you feel at home, that really bring joy to your life. And also the ones that, you know, you're probably going to need to tend. They're closer to you and you're willing to nourish them and really put in a lot of effort. Then the idea kind of that middle ground are those people who we're close to, but we don't interact with as frequently. They're not as visible to us, whether it's life circumstances, the time we have to invest in the relationship. And some relationships are kind of seasonal. Like we see folks during soccer with our kids, or we might see them at gym class or during the school year if we're taking classes. And then if we kind of think of the background, that's kind of those folks out there that we don't really get the chance to interact with frequently, but they're still a part of our lives and we still appreciate their presence. And so it's kind of the idea that some folks, you know, we want our lives because they bring joy and beauty and they may be ornamental. And then other folks, we want them to be kind of perennial. They don't need a lot of upkeep and care, but we really appreciate what they're bringing to us.
Well, I had a phone conversation with a high school friend of mine last week. And Professor, we might not have spoken in 30 years. I don't know. Maybe not. But it was, you know, it was one of those conversations, and people talk about this like it was, you know, you never missed a beat, you never missed a step. But that would be one of those background friends.
It could be, yeah, perennial, that you know they're there, but you don't need a lot of upkeep. They don't take a lot of energy, and yet they're there, and they're a presence in your life, but you don't have to, you know, like I said, you don't interact or engage. You don't have to make sure you're keeping up with them, but they're a part of you out there in that background.
Where do you put the people you have to hang out with because of your friends and family, but you don't really want to?
Yeah, well, I tell you, they're usually in the mid-ground somewhere. They're usually halfway there. They're kind of there because you got to interact with them. They're going to take a little bit of upkeep. But it's really wonderful the way we can look at friends. They don't all have to be best friends. It takes a lot of pressure off of us to have those kind of perennial friendships and those kind of mid-ground friends, because they're not going to require a lot of us, but they're going to be there for us when we need them, as long as we're going to be there for them equally.
I want to talk about the pandemic and the impact on all of this, but I'm just fascinated by the whole idea. So how many foreground friends or primary friends can you have, healthy friends can you have, right? I mean, I suppose if there's too many, it becomes diluted and they don't serve their purpose.
Right. Well, you become exhausted trying to meet the needs of too many people. And in all the research I've done with friendship, when I've, you know, done qualitative studies and quantitative studies, folks who have 3 to 5 good friends really are those who have the highest level of life satisfaction. Mm. So we're talking about those really super close friends. And that's about all that we really have time. Our lives are busy, no matter, you know, whether you're working full time or if you're caring for family, if you're in school, if you just lead an active life full of hobbies, you only have so much psychic and emotional and physical energy. And so having 3 to 5 good friends and having one best friend can change your life physically, emotionally for the better.
Now that we have these, we're aware of these three levels, do we need to assign our friendships to them or just recognize that this is probably the way they naturally break down?
We need to just recognize that it's okay to have friends you only see once every 30 years or talk to every 30 years, and that's okay. We don't have to make everyone, you know, BFF. I think when we go into social media and we count followers, we count who looked at our Instagram photos, who checked out our Twitter, we're looking at folks who really aren't friends. They're not going to require a lot of emotional connection, but there are folks out there who do appreciate our presence in their life. And it's important that we kind of, like I said, friendship's about mutuality. And so we can have friends at different levels. We don't have to say, you're this, you're that, you only belong here, because that's not what it's about. Friendships evolve naturally. And that's an important thing. We've got to be okay with how relationships change and shift over the years, because we as humans are also dynamic, and I'm changing and shifting every day as well.
How do you know that your friendship is mutual? I mean, I guess maybe it's an obvious answer. Maybe it's not, that your friend feels about you the way you feel about her or him.
Well, are they as willing to do the things for them that you're willing to do for? Are they willing to do for you what you're willing to do for them? Are you willing to let someone show up at your house at 1:30 in the morning because they had a fight with your significant other and let them crash on your sofa? And would they be willing to let you do the same? It really happens kind of naturally. Most of us, and the funny thing is, in relationships, we kind of start out when we're building a friendship. I'll do this for you, you'll do that for me. And in my head, I may not realize it, but I've got this little mental tally. And if we know a friendship has become solid and is a strong friendship, when we stop keeping count. And that's what it is. We put it, because friendships, we have to invest in relationships, like romantic relationships, friendships, work relationships. You know, we all are social creatures, some more so than others. But to keep a relationship really strong and help it grow, we've got to be willing to invest. And we know, you know, it's kind of like the people that don't return our texts. We can get the feeling that we're not as important to them as we thought we were. People that don't have time to do the things when we invite them to come to parties, come to events. And I think the pandemic gave us a chance to really think about who is keeping up with us, who are we keeping up with, who are the people that we, if we chose to spend time with folks, who do we trust to be keeping the same level of safety, health, you know, health concerns. So we kind of realized who are the folks that we feel are like us enough that we can feel comfortable and prioritize time with them.
So when we come out of this, are we coming out having purged friends or having renewed friendships or maybe brought on all new friends altogether?
Yeah, made on new. And the answer to that is going to be yes, yes, and yes. You know, some at the start of the pandemic, I heard from friends I'd not heard from since high school, literally. And when I'd respond, I got some emails, I'd respond back. And then it kind of petered out after that. So It really was a way to kind of reconnect. We were all kind of in a situation of not knowing. And we did kind of want to make sure we had folks that we maybe made up for old past wrongs we might have committed, things we might have wanted to make right, relationships that may have ended poorly, folks wanted to contact old flames. It was really a kind of this crazy time where we really wanted to reach out and feel connection. I was talking to someone this week who said they'd become good friends with the custodial staff in their building because they're the only ones coming to work like they were to do their job. So they have a whole new set of friends they hadn't had before because of folks they saw every day because so few other people were in the office.
I guess part of your message too is it's okay to end friendships or to move on from friendships.
Absolutely. We can't, you know, there's all sorts of little poems and these little things about friends don't always last forever. And the thing is, relationships can't last forever unless it's one you're really going to be invested in. You know, you marry or you find a significant other, parenthood, things like that. You know, you kind of are making an outward commitment. But friendship is always voluntary, and friendship is of choice. And so it's not like we're pledging our allegiance to any friends. So the friendships are meant to last, the ones that really serve that hunger for social connection, understanding, that offer support, and we feel comfortable offering that person support, they're gonna last. And they may not always be super close. As you found 30 years later, you can reconnect with someone you've not talked to. The years can slip away because there was a deep connection. And even though that person may not serve a super big role right now, maybe they're back there in the background, but you know that if you needed to call on them or just someone to talk to, you could probably reach out again.
Susan Deggs-White is a professor of counseling at Northern Illinois University. Okay, so even if, Susan, we don't talk for a year or two, I want you to count on me as a background friend, okay?
I sure will, Steve. You'll be at the top of the list. Absolutely.
I hope we can talk again. You're listening to the Afternoon News. Let's check in with the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up.